just you again. The day leading with verse number one, you discovered that Jesus Christ. And Brother James, to them, he was sanctified. Do you know what the word sanctified means? Set apart. God has a people that are set apart. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. The rich man being in hell, asked the righteous to just bring a drop of water for his tongue when he was in trouble. But there was a gulf between. We talk about different generations and separations. I'm glad that when you're in Jesus, you're all the same. What a great family. But this is being written to people that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. No difference, no doubt, who this book of Jude is being written to. He continues, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all of them exists to write unto you at the common salvation, it was meet for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly. Mercy, grace. But he said, to the sanctified, I am writing. Earnestly contend to the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What a warning in verse 4. For there are certain men, brethren, and lovers, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Do you understand that God the Holy Ghost is giving those that are sanctified unto God, those that are separated for His purpose? He's giving them a warning. There are men that have come in unaware, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you without me going into it. I want you to go and look at that word lasciviousness. I can tell you what it means. That is a foul word. That is a sinful nature. That is related to morals and sex. I preached to you this morning about the church. I said it a different way, but I'm saying it this way tonight. I am surprised that we're still here. The bride, the church, the bride of Jesus Christ is being subjected to very pits of hell. I told you this morning, in that contending for the faith, if you do not take a stand, you're not going to be able to abide in these last days. The Bible says, know those that labor among you. I talk to people all the time. Well, I'm a charter member of that church. Corruption, sin, defilement, going on everywhere. And because I'm a charter member, God said, he that has ears, let him hear. I'm hearing things out of the church today that I never thought of that God would permit it. It just goes to prove to you that God doesn't dwell in tabernacles made with hands. There are a lot of places called the church that already has the name of Ichabod written over the doorpost. The glory has departed. I told you this morning that Christ is the vine, we're the branches. When that branch does not bear the fruit, it's hewn down. And what? Men gather. Men know how to gather the flesh. They know how to appease the carnalities. You see, I come up in the church in a day and time, just like Sister Cunningham and Sister Ruth and a lot of other folks. be ye holy, even as I am holy, is what God says. Romans 14, another scripture, holiness, without which no man shall see God. Where is the cry for purity, honesty, and holiness? I wrote this article based on this post-Christian America, which I thought I'd make an idea of. But we have become a people in the church not interested in truth, but interested in tolerance. Hello? It's not truth. If it's not truth, it's not Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you rob the church of truth, what you have taken out is Christ. You may have a form of godliness. You may have a form of a service. But God gave the law, God gave the sacrifice. He gave the altar and the shedding of blood. But one time, he went to the people who were doing just what he said. He said, I hate what you're doing. It's not in the form. It's in the reality. It's not in the words. It's in the Christ. I doubt this morning with the apostasy. I told you that I said something last Sunday night that set me on this by myself. My pastor preached to me and to this congregation, and he had a saying, if you will heal the church will heal the nation. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, seek my faith, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will heal their land. Heal the church, and you will heal the nation. We live. I cannot imagine there being a more wicked generation than this. I cannot imagine the depths of sin being reached any deeper than this generation. But my message to you this morning and tonight, there's a lot of the blame of this lies on that preacher. I said this morning, we've got teachers that are cowards. We've got movie makers, songwriters, entertainers that were dealing with issues of trouble and homes and lives. Documentaries were made. But we're the only ones that have the answer to that. Need and we're silent and we're quiet. Somebody tell me what the word of God says separates between man and God. Say it out loud. Say it out loud. Sin has separated between you and God. I said this morning, I'd rather God would kill me than let me mislead you, deceive you, tell God. These are different days and different times. Did not the Bible tell us that John was a voice? Where was your voice? In the wilderness. We are living in a wilderness. The difference is, John was a voice. Jesus said, man born of woman, there is not one greater than John. John come out of the wilderness. Even locusts and wild honey. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. What made that man great was not his money, not his reputation. What made him great was his message. What made him unusual in society was he was a man. Jeremiah said, dealing with people, he said, don't be afraid of their faces. You get these looks from people because they'd rather have it easy. Prophesying to these smooth things. We must know this, that we have to cry aloud and show who the things. Cry aloud and spare not, show my people their sins. I want to just throw in a personal question. I have been offered many churches for pastors through the years. One of them was a church. Everybody in that church your Jaguar, big week. I really wanted to go. I'm telling you the truth. I thought this must be good. I come to a prayer meeting in this church trying to find the will of God. And I said, God, I've been asking you about taking this church for weeks now, and you've not said anything to me. He said, son, if I had anything to say, I'd say it. You know, thank you, somebody else. Next Sunday would be my very dear and precious friend, Brother Robin St. Clair, a man of God. His first Sunday in his new church had been moved from Canada, Arkansas, to Preston, Arkansas, kind of thing. I told him in my office one day, I told him, I said, Robin, I don't know if I will, you know, I don't know how my life is going to go. Because I do know that if you're going to go try out for a church, you have to preach. And I said, from day one of my life, I said to God, I'm never going to put my ministry on the line for somebody to do it rather than like me. When the people from Pasco went to Robin, they said, we want you to be our pastor. He said, well, I'm not going to try. He told me, if you want me, you let me pray about it. You pray about it. But we're not going to go. We're not going to do it. That's not going to be the deciding factor. I said that to say this. God has sent men to places to preach that they were rejected. But what they preach is what God's sending them to preach. God knows what we need. And if God has to raise up someone else, He loves me. He loves me. He wants us to hear the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He wants us to know the truth. But instead of the church today being a voice in the wilderness, the pulpit is weak. I'm telling you this because you buy books, CDs, DVDs, you listen to preachers on TV. I'm telling you. But Paul said, and this is hard for me to say, but he said, if we are the man, even if he be an angel from heaven, if he come preaching any other gospel than I preach, let him be accursed. That's what he said. We listen to stuff today that if we even had a decent conscience, we would listen to. My preacher friend had called me Friday. In a church of 18,000 people. I don't even know how to say this, but I want you to know the spirit is the same. They use the F word. In a Pentecostal church, he called the people of that church. He called them pictures. And let me tell you, if you ever hear that in this pulpit, you start going to this place with your absence. And if you don't know the way out the door, you follow me. I know the way out the door. The scripture tells us that evil communication corrupts good manners. Does this trouble you at all? The man told me, said, Brother Robert, I've been pastoring people for 15 years. I've given my life to them. But now, they've got that itchy ear. They talk like that, but they've got a lot of people. They've got a lot of excitement. They've got a lot of this. But I want us to have a lot of Jesus. There are things going on in the church today that I thought would only take place in the tribulation. My God told me that in this southern state, a man said, if you run 1 or 200 in your church, you come to me, I have your only 600. He didn't go into a lot of depth of how that was going to work. He didn't go, I believe. Jesus just said, I'm only talking. There's a spirit and there's an attitude and there's a thought today. Why not let me know? I'm not ashamed to tell you that God tells you how to dress. God tells you how to talk. God tells you how to walk. He tells you, make no provision for the flesh. Now, the prophet, rather than being a thorn, is weak. A lot of them are cowardly. They're, I'm not going to tell you, but in this time, when Herman Hospital took over Baptist and for so long, they made the additions in the new building. I was one of them that they called in there to go through that facility. He took us to the public ledger goals. And I said, don't cut on it. I walked in. I didn't know that you could take part of your staff. So I walked in and had business people and maybe another teacher or whatever. And there was a pastor. And there was a church. I don't even know him. I'm there by myself. He's got his staff. He said, Brother Thomas, please, please come sit with us. So he went over, pulled up a chair. He looked at me and he said, you intimidate me. Just like that. And then I got sit down. And then we get a drink. You intimidate me. He said, if I said in my church what you say in your church, what you told me, I wouldn't have anybody. There was one time, a man by the name of Joe, he was so isolated he had to go away with his name. But when he got his message to the king, they did not even bring it down to the camp. They read the message in that city of Nineveh, spared him. Jonah didn't want to go. God, I knew once I got there and told him what he was going to do to him, I knew they were going to kill. I knew your turn. But everything from the king on down the line, it says even to the dogs, they humble themselves. They pray. I don't remember how long it was before the judgment came. But that man had to go through the valley of a fence, had a gourd over his head, and tattered. But God sent him. And God sent him with a message. He said, God, I need you to do this. I knew this was the way God would do it. You know what he's saying is, I look like an idiot. That came with my prophecy. We're so concerned about our personal reputations. We want to have the Pastor Mayor one time. I was ready to go preach to him. I didn't know what the difference was. But I asked him, I said, down here in the 60s store. That's how long ago that was. Customer said, hey, brother, how many of you are running this? He said, that's happened. I said, no. He said, man, I only called 100. And I'm going to call it. You'll give me that call. The business is the governing factor. Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And that's where it comes. That's where the crowd and the multitudes are. There come a day when Father Abraham is going to see the fulfillment of God's promise and covenant with him. Abraham, if you can count the stars, if you can count the sands of the sea, then where is it? Romans, where the Bible tells us Abraham is the father of his soul. What about this great cloud of witnesses? There's been a lot of pruning, a lot of separating, a lot of coming out from among and being the shepherds, says the Lord. I know people that go to church because the pastor wanted to speak. I know they go because they've got a lot of money. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not making this up. But there was a church down in either Alabama or Florida, I don't remember which of them. There was a man on the board. He was extremely rich. He practically just kept it all going as to what they wanted to do. One day, I believe it was his brother, went to the pastor and told of the gross sin that was in that man's life. and telling me the story. The pastor was going to put him out of all of his positions. He went to the hierarchy of the fellowship and complained, and they went into that church and told that pastor, "You cannot remove him." No. Christians. Always something to satisfy the corruption of man. They would rather have that man with his sin and his people than to have God. We live in horrific times. We ask you, should the pulpit be reluctant to grapple with the issues of life? Yes. And that's what this book is about. This book is about the issues of life. I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. But the enemy, the devil, has come into life, steal, kill, and destroy. Everything in this book is either life or death. Godliness or corruption. You can't get bitter water and sweet water out of the same fountain. You're going to love one and hate the other. Or vice versa. Father, let me ask you, do you remember when you were in the depths of your sin? Men commit sin in the dark because their deeds are evil. You find all these people that commit crime and they say temporary insanity. That's stupid. They had enough sin to ruin so they wouldn't get caught in the young context and temporary sin. But do you remember the crap when you were sin? Remember when it felt like your heart was right here in your throat? I'm not getting any amens, you saints. Remember when you tried to hide the actions of your life? The deeds that you have done, what you've committed? You wouldn't go home and tell mama about it. You hid it. Why? Because your deeds were evil. But what about that conscience that either accuses you or excuses you? You lay your head on that pillow. The life right. You're there by yourself. You slept in the pillow. You're holding the cover one way or the other. Why? Because of grappling. That is, if you have any conscience, you're grappling with your sin. And the Lord forget Brother McKnight's sermon. What makes heaven heaven and what makes hell hell? I had come to know the Lord before that message. He was preaching down in Rome. I thought that man never would shut up. There's something in this heart that I feel like I need to repent. No fornication, no adultery, no stealing, no drugs, no alcohol, but a conscience. Maybe anger or whatever it was. I thought, man, when did you ever get to? When he started the altar call, I come walking down this aisle with a heart hungry, with a spirit desire for there to be a change in my life, something to happen. One thing that bothers me about pastoring the church. You see, when I was an evangelist, I had a pastor tell me, he said, "You evangelists just get the best of me. You come in, you bust time, and you leave. I've got to deal with it after you've got to bust time. I put some of the bus in the morning, stopped in there, we had the bus at that time in the whole kingdom. We stopped and went in there to preach for him all the way down to West Palm Beach, Florida." And he said, "When he got through, he got up and said, 'Listen, folks.' I never preached to him. He said, 'No, listen, I'm not talking to this man. I've not said a word to this man.' And he took 15 minutes to explain that everything that I had preached was something in the church. When I was preaching in Jasper, Alabama, a combined camp meeting and funeral council for a branch of the Church of God, I preached one night. That place was packed with preachers and congregation. There was a man and his wife who got up on the back of the church on this side. come walking down to the front before he ever got to the altar, he's taken his coat off. He and his wife, they're putting all together. He told her, you could hear, I could hear. Put your head down and join me in prayer. The voice was not our answer. A broken home, the devil invading our home is not the answer. We're not going to give up until God answers our prayer. God knows where you are and what you need. Don't resist it. Don't resist it. Let God have his way. But we have to grapple. Jesus today, and none of us do. We do not like Jesus. You know what I mean? That we come across as being offensive. When I'm talking about me as a teacher, I'm not giving you what it is. But what you need, may you do something that will let you to cry. I said this morning, the title of my message is Taking the Gloves Off. I've taken the gloves off today. It's a time for everything under the sun. And it's time to be kind, gentle, loving. There's a time to rebuke. There's a time to stir up that pure mind by way of remembrance. God knows what time it is. God knows when we need these prayers moving to the Spirit. The reason the devil does not want you to hear the Word of God because of the effectiveness and the potency of the Word of God. We must keep in touch in it. We are in such an unbelievable time, social, political, everywhere. The only people that have the answer part of them are sitting before you. Most churches, they do not have church on Sunday nights anymore. I'm talking about my dear friends. Nobody comes. They won't come. You know why they won't come? They don't really love God. When they get there, they don't do anything. When we preach to Jesus Christ. We preach Him crucified. We preach Him coming again. We preach Him as a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. But when you go to this social gospel, you can hear it. It may entertain the ear, but it doesn't feed the spirit. Says in Psalms 1, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. The only thing that we eat is Christ. Take, eat. This is my life. This is my blood. None of me, no of me. I'm going to make a statement. It sounds like I'm making an excuse, but I'm not. I preached here once, how many years ago? How did you pick the church you go to? How did you pick it? I come up in that message with any number of excuses I've heard through the years. So I remember. That's a reminder. That's where I was baptized. That's where I got married. That's where they dedicated my church. That's all well and good. But if that church is ministry, has changed. If it's a place here, if it's an entertainment extravaganza, you'll do well to find yourself in another church. I said on this platform, when Brother Pender went to Russia, I said, in a church, right here on this platform. And I told this church, my pastor, Mr. Barton, has gone to Russia with his wife. No longer your pastor. Some of you remember, you're doing this. I said, I don't expect all of you to stay. I release you from just being bound to this place. Didn't I tell you that? I said, I will help you find another church. When I drove up on the parking lot, the first service I'm going to preach, God said to me, there's nobody in that building to see you. They're there to hear about me. Lift me up higher. Don't you falsify me. Don't you say anything about me that's not accurate. I've done my best to live up to that experience, even to the point that I say it again to you. I would rather God would kill me than let me get caught up in the social gospel of today. I'd rather just slip on out than go to be with God. I believe in blessing. I believe in what we see. Does the preaching that you listen to ever touch your conscience? Does it ever touch that hidden part that is called conviction? I'm going to tell you, because I feel it under conviction. People say, oh, you got the right place for conviction. Don't stop that garbage. He said, what I say to one, I say to the other. This is implanted in this book. That's the Christian. Right? But what about that conviction? Conviction. I am amazed at the number of people and what they can do and do it with a clear conscience. They will jump on over you and defend themselves in what they've done. Though it is crystal clear that it's contrary to the word of God. God, do not ever remove conviction from your heart. I think in looking back at another military here tonight, just in front of you, we were on vacation. And I never heard of it. We were at Christmas, teaching children. I never heard of it. But the pastor and the people, they got to talk and say something like that. A boot story. What's it called tonight? It's a damn story. It's not really. Somebody tell me. Boots and scoot. Boot, scoot, wicked. I call it a sin. But God called it sin. Christian man, on vacation, Sunday morning, I did not use your brother's clothes for the people. And I got to do it with a boot scoot. And it didn't cost me to post it in the Holy Spirit's nature. I told him, I said, saturate this week with eyelashes. The only thing that I said when we came out the door, I was sitting there nervous as I could be, just wondering how long he was going to put up that clothes. And he told me all the musicians are coming. I get calls all the time. Aaron, Texas, Charlie, Texas, Stephen, Texas. Brother Robert, I got a call from Arizona. I got a call from wherever. Arizona just last week. They want to know, can you recommend a church? They tried everything they did. They tried everything. They're looking for church. And you can't find it. You know what? They found a building. They found a people. They found a priest. They found a family. They found all of them. They found it. But once you drink from this water of life, and what you're going to taste and see in this water is good, you can't put up with it. You can't put up with it. Let me say this about the time of life. I believe in the tithe and belongs in the church. I got that from my pastor. But there are people that send their tithe to offer to the school of Christ because they want to be faithful in giving, but they are starving to death for truth and reality. You know what I absolutely have done? If they send it and they say this to my tithe, I send it out. Put that in the tree. Out of the church. I can't find it. As much as anybody else in this life, you need to pray for it. You need to pray for your pastor. I'm not saying that just for myself. You need to say that for preachers. Brother Danny and Sister Freeman are coming here April 9th through the 12th. Revival. That's what 2 weeks from today. And
26, we see compensation for the gratitude. We see Brother Robert Blackwood preaching the delivery, the evangelist, except for 1 year, every leader for 3 years has been evangelist. He said, this last year, I can remember these last years. He did 12 or 13 of the Bible. We need to stir our hands for it. We need to stand unshakable, unmovable. When the devil comes around and gets in your ear, he'll use somebody, he'll use something. It'll be something like, oh, you don't have to listen to that crazy preacher. He doesn't even tell you. What does that mean to listen to me? Any more than we can't pass anything back. Even if you didn't answer from another word, and you ask any other gospel in that preacher, then you can. This nation of America, they now have to call it post-Christian America. Hope you'll read my article. Post, but in the end of that article, I didn't call him by name. But if you will remember in your Bible, when the devil thought he had killed every bit of God's people, there was one boy, and his name was Boaz. And God had him tucked away until the right time to bring him up. Now, you sit down and have your nervous breakdown if you want. But don't try to spread it with me. Because somewhere there's a Boaz. Somewhere there's a people that have not bowed their knee to Baal. I preach to you again, giving you all the time. Know who you're listening to. Know what you're sitting in. Know what's going on. Know those that labor among you, right? You find somebody that says, what I do is none of your business. You put up with that if you want to, but not this one. What I do is none of your business. Yes, it is. Know them that labor among you. Not only that, every one of us are living epistles known and read by me.